Tonight we're going to talk about a topic that is somewhat in Yonit Yoma related. It's a topic which is halachically relevant all year round, but it appears in Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hilchas Tisha B'Av, and that is the requirement of Kriya for seeing Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash, the Chorbana. The Gemara tells us in Moed Katan on Daf Kaf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, the Gemara tells us on Daf Kaf Vav Aleph and Moed Katan ve'elu kara'in she'ei mefachen. The din is when it comes to kriya al avi ve'imo, the person Rachmanu L'chitzlan loses a parent and has to tear kriya, that tear in the beggar is not allowed to be sown ever. So that's a halacha that's unique to avi ve'imo. The Braisa here says that it doesn't apply to the following situations. Elu kara'in, so it applies not only to avi ve'imo, but the following as well. Elu kara'in she'ei mefachen, the following are types of tears that you're not allowed to sew up. If you tear kriya for a parent, so for all of these prominent personalities, other tragedies that happen, and if you tear kriya for observing the cities of Yehuda in their desolation, the Mikdash b'Chorbana and Yerushalayim b'Chorbana, the Gemara goes on to say, to source out how we know that there is a chiyuv, a kriya for such things, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and then the Gemara says, when you see Arei Yehuda Berchabana, you're supposed to tear kriya after reciting a certain pasuk, Yerushalayim Berchabana, same thing, and Makom HaMikdash Berchabana as well. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Kuf Samach Aleph and Archayim. It's in a very abridged version. It appears in Yaradei as well, in Hilchas Kriya, the end of Siman Shin Mem. The Mechaber writes in the beginning of Tavkuf Samach Aleph, Haroa Arei Yehuda Bechor Banan, Omer Arei Kachachayu Midbar Vekorea. So if you see Arei Yehuda in their destruction, you recite this pasuk and you tear Kriya. Sif Beis, Arei Yushalayim Bechor Bana, Omer Bada Pasuk. And then Haroa Mikdash, Tchila Karela Mikdash Tefach. If you see the Makom HaMikdash before Yerushalayim, then you tear on the Mikdash, then you expand the Kriya on Yerushalayim. So this is the din, that there are three different requirements that would invoke Kriya, seeing Arei Yehuda B'Chorbana, seeing Yerushalayim B'Chorbana, and seeing the Makom HaMikdash B'Chorbana as well. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes in Sifkatan Beis, we'll start with the first halacha of Arei Yehuda. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkatan Al, sorry, Afilu Yoshvin Behem Yisrael, if you see cities or areas of Arei Yehuda that are Bechorbana, what does that mean? Even if they're Jews living there, Kevin She'ena Moshe Malaya Mikri Chorban, since it's not under Jewish control, under Jewish authority, that's considered to be Bechorbana. So that's what a number of poskim say nowadays. If you have Arei Yehuda that are under Jewish control, maybe there's no chiya kriya. That's based on the Bach, quoted by the Magen Avraham here, but the Mishnah Berurah is quoting here Lalacha. Rav Shechter points out, Rav Shechter has a piece on this topic printed in Be'ikvei Atzon, Siman Yud Aleph, that most Achronim say like that, that the reason for the chiya kriya for Arei Yehuda is because it demonstrates a lack of Jewish control, and therefore, if it is under Jewish control, as was the case after 67, there wouldn't be a chiya kriya. And the Levush seems to say something else, that the Chi of Kriya isn't because it's not under Jewish control, but it's somehow an extension of Korban HaMikdash, that kind of spills out to Arei Yehuda B'Chorbana as well. And if that's the case, then it wouldn't make a difference whether it's under Jewish Jewish rule control or not. After the Oslo Accords in the 90s, so that was a discussion, certain parts are given to the Palestinians. Does that change the halacha in terms of needing to decree for such areas of Arei Yehuda? So that may be an open question. Ultimately, Israel still has security control to some extent over the entire area. So maybe that's enough now to require a chiyuv kriya. I think, generally speaking, even now, for areas of Arei Yehuda, we don't tear kriya. Question is, what about Yerushalayim? What's the nature of this chiyuv kriya for Yerushalayim b'chorbana? Is that also a function of whether it's under Jewish control, or is that standalone halacha? So long as we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then Yerushalayim is considered to be in a state of chorma to some extent as well. Ramosha writes in Chelek Dalet Simen Ayin, Im yesh lekro hayom al ri'iyas Yerushalayim, ve'elu hanosim la'eretz Yisrael mistaber, sha'af sha'dayin lo negalnu b'avin sinir rabin, the gula hasn't yet come, still, ein lekro ha'ri'iyas Yerushalayim, ne'achar shehi b'chesed Hashem Yisbarach b'nuya l'tiferes, ve'en akol panim v'rishus umos akam. So it's true, we're still lacking the Beis HaMikdash, but Yerushalayim is under Jewish control post-67, and therefore there is no chiyuv of kriya for seeing Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim in the post-Kosu means the halachic Yerushalayim, the area that was settled as part of Yerushalayim, is man ha-mikdash. That's what Moshe says. Nowadays, if Yerushalayim is under Jewish control, no chiyuv kriya for Yerushalayim itself. Shlomo Zalman says something else. Tshuvas Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Gimel. So he writes, Koshvani, the Kozman Sheroa Madayin Bira Kodesh Van Mikdash Knesios Shel Nachrim, the Gam Kiriakim, as long as there are still houses of worship of other religions in Yerushalayim that are prominent, so Yerushalayim isn't considered to be Bibinyana. The Ein Ani Yecholim Lamech are Pulchano Nachra, we can't get rid of those. Adayin Hibacharbana. So Shlomo Zalman seems to say that even if Yerushalayim is under Jewish control, there still is a chiyuv kriya. In the Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu about the stipler, the author writes that he asked the stipler about this as well, and he quoted a Rabbi David Jungreis, who said that everything is based on the Americans. Whatever the Americans say goes. And it sounds like, and therefore, Yerushalayim isn't fully under Jewish control, and you'd have to still tear kriya. So it sounds like he's saying, although he quotes elsewhere that the stipler, say this in the Chazon Ish and others, misafek, would someone close their eyes when entering Shar Yafo until they got to the Makom Mikdash, not to run into this question as to whether they have to tear a separate kriya for Yerushalayim. Rav Osner has a different nekuda. Tshuva Shevet Levi Chelek Zayin Simen Ayin Ches. He writes that even if it's the case that if Yerushalayim was under Jewish control, you wouldn't have to tear kriya. But nowadays the government is one of Menatzei Hashem. So how can you call that being under Jewish control? That's still considered Yerushalayim b'churbana. The Rav Shechter points out in his article here that's difficult to understand because in the Bisman Bayis Rishon Bayis Sheni, not all the kings were tzaddikim either. So was our government really worse than what's going on half of Bayis Sheni and part of Bayis Rishon? But that's what Rav Osner writes here in print in Chelek Zayin Simen Ayin Ches. Rav Shechter points out in that article, quoting from the Rav, that the Rav thought that the Iker reason for the Chi of Kriya of Yerushalayim is not because it's not under Jewish government, but because Yerushalayim is really an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, as we know from the Mishnah in the beginning of Kalim, that the way the Rav explained that the 10 levels of Kedusha are 10 levels of Kedusha emanating from Mikdash, so Yerushalayim has a certain level of Kedusha as HaMikdash, and Kriya over Yerushalayim is a function of the lack of the Beis HaMikdash. He says that notwithstanding, Lamaisa, the Minog is not to tear Kriya over Yerushalayim, the Minog of many is not to tear Kriya in Yerushalayim nowadays, because we say Alacha Kedivrei Meikel Ba'avel, and even though when it comes to Hilchos Kriya, we say Kriya Luchud and Avel Suchud, so Alacha Kedivrei Meikel Ba'avel doesn't apply to Hilchos Kriya, but Kriya Al Makom HaMikdash, Kriya Al Yerushalayim, that's really a Avelus oriented Alacha, and you would say Alacha Kedivrei HaMeikel Ba'avel. Sri Dublitsky passed away a couple of years ago, had the Kuntris, he has a Sefer Zirchem B'Salel about Simen Kuf Mem and Yardei Hilchos Kriya, and there are a few appended Kuntresim. One of them is Kuntres Achar Kos Leinu, which is halachas related to the Kosel, which he originally wrote in 1967, and then he subsequently edited it the further editions. But he discusses over there, so that kuntrus, I think, was first printed as a standalone kuntrus and is appended to this Sirchum Besalel. So he writes on the early version in 67, he had paskin not to tear kri on Yerushalayim, and then 68, he changed his mind that he thought he should tear kri even on Yerushalayim nowadays, because it's really some extension of Mikdash or something along those lines. In practice, my sense is that the more common minug nowadays is not to tear kri on Yerushalayim, only to tear kri on the Makom Mikdash. For that, Lekuli Amma, that Evan agrees nowadays, we definitely don't have a base on Mikdash, and therefore there is a Chi of Kriya on the Makom Mikdash. So what is it that triggers that Chi of Kriya on Makom Mikdash? What is considered Makom Mikdash for purposes of tearing Kriya? So Rabbi Chia Michal Tukachinsky writes in the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, Re'iyas Makom Mikdash Yidafka Kishiroes Makom Hazara. So you have to see where the Azara was on the Har Habayis. Below Kishiroes Makom Har Habayis. If you just see from a distance, or you see the area of the Har Habayis, but you don't see onto Har Habayis, you don't see the Makom Hazara, that doesn't trigger a Chi of Kriya. For Lokish Aroes Komas Har Bayis, just seeing the wall of Har Bayis, the Gam Lokish Aroes Akosel Maravi, Shigamu Kosel Har Bayis, Shein Sarach Lekrola. So Rechim Nechal Tukachinsky writes, if you just see the Kosel, you don't see anything on the Har Bayis itself, that's not enough to trigger a Chiyuv Kriya. And the Bach basically says along those lines already in Simon Tavkav Samach Aleph, he quotes from a Kuntresim that the Chi of Kriya is where you see the mosque. He writes, Matsasi Bilikutim. Kisha Adam Balu Shalayim Verwa Sakova Shal Besa Mikta Shia Zara, as Chai Lashachavas connected with the Kroa Espegada, Velifko Sulfan and Uthabel, etc. So he says in the next paragraph, what does that mean? They say the Pasuk. Velifko Sulis Onain. Ain la Gemara, aval sechel yichayepin. Tearing Kriya isn't just a standalone act in a vacuum. It should reflect a certain emotion. It's like mesa mutalafanov. It's like an onain. So naturally, you experience a certain emotional reaction that you're korea boche umisonain. So that's the point of Kriya. It's not just a pro forma action, but it should reflect an emotional reaction to the fact that the Mikdash is the Chorbana. But what the Bach is writing is that you need to see the Makom Hazara, the Makom HaMikdash, and that's where Bichim Tukhachinsky writes, just seeing the Kosel itself may not be sufficient. Others say even seeing the Kosel may be sufficient. Shrei Dablitsky writes in his Chibor, Lalacha yesh liftok the korei al chomas harabayis beinam aravi gam mizrachi gam kesherav chomas umitzad chutz b'makom shespalim mistaber dechenu gam agavi chomas harabayis. So mistaber that even seeing the kosel maravi would be sufficient to trigger a chi of kriya. You don't have to actually see onto the harabayis. Amdam amekel shalal kro atchiyera mitzvah sazara al kolpanim kipos hamiskadim. If you're not going to tear kriya unless you actually see the mask or the service of Arbayis, yesh lo al mi lismach. L'chein k'shabal l'kosum al-rabi yishtad l'iros l'fachos gam akipos v'yetzei de'akol. So he writes elsewhere that, generally speaking, if you're walking to the kosol, you will notice that there's a mask on the Arbayis. You're not going to, it's hard to, unless you keep your eyes down and don't look at anything, you naturally would see enough of the Har Habayis to trigger the Chi of Kriya L'Kuli Amos. That's generally what's assumed, that it doesn't mean you have to have a binoculars to see exactly onto the Makom Hazara on floor level, but if you see If you see the mosque, you see anything coming up out of the Har Bayis, that would be sufficient to trigger a chiyuv kriya. In the Yarchos Rabbeinu, he quotes also that the stipler wasn't sure whether the kosel itself is enough to trigger the chiyuv kriya. But he thought that if that's all you see, lemaisa, you should trigger kriya even on the kosel itself. And that's what he quotes from the Chazon Ish as well. So we began with the Gemara Moi Katan Daf Kafav that tells us that there's a commonality between the din of kriya for Avi V'Imo and kriya al Makom HaMikdash as far as the din of Eim Mesachin, that you can't sew together such a tear. Machlokas Rambam Ravid as to whether that applies to other details of Hilchos Kriya as well. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tanios Parakei Halacha Yud Zayin, so all of these kriyas, meaning for Arei Yehuda and for Yerushalayim, the Makom HaMikdash, it has to be done with your hand, not with a kli. It has to be done while standing. The Korea called Ksus Shalav Ashigalus Libo. And just like by Aviv Imo, for Sharkbo, if you tear kriya for other relatives, you just tear one bag. When it comes to Aviv Imo, you have to tear all the begadim. So that applies here as well. They know Machakran Elulom, you're not allowed to re-sew them. And the Ravid's Masig, Lo Nirake Min HaGemara, Shrei Shana B'Tosefta, Lo Hishvil Avi Imo, Ela Le'ichli Bilad. The only comparison the Gemara tells you is that Kriya for Yerushalayim, Kriya for Makom HaMikdash, is analogous to Avi Imo as far as the din that you can't sew it back together again. But as far as the other halachos of Ashi Galos Libi, you have to tear all the begadim, it has to be B'Yad and Abakli, that we don't find any explicit Gemara that links the two. So the Ravid thinks that the comparison is limited to the din of Ichoy and not to other halachas. If you look back where we started in Tafkuf Samach Aleph, the Mechaber Paskins seemingly like the Rambam in Seif Dalet, Kol Akrama Elu B'yada Uma Umad. So you have to be standing. It has to be with your hand out with a kli. The Korea Kol Ksuso Shalav Ashigal Eslibo. You have to tear all the begadim Ashigal Eslibo. And then you can't resew it. So it sounds like the Rambam is paskening mefurash, the Mechaber is paskening mefurash, like the Rambam. In the Orchas Rabbeinu, he quotes that the Chazon Ish apparently was mesupuk whether when you go to tear kriya l'malka and mikdash, you have to tear your talis katan also. So that's a shayla. Most poskim assume like the Netziv writes in a tshuva that an avel, even a lav ima, does not tear the talis katan, which is a common practice. But apparently it sounds like from this representation, the Chazon Ish thought that you do tear a talis katan in general. And it was mesupuk whether that's true for Makom HaMikdash as well. So he writes, and he went to the Makom HaMikdash, he stopped off somewhere in Yerushalayim, he took off his talis katan and wore a talis gadol to go to the kosel, so that he wouldn't get into the shayla as to whether to tear kriya on the talis katan. But it seems like minhag olam is that even an avil ima doesn't tear kriya on the talis katan, so you wouldn't hear as well, even if you paskin like the Rambam. Sorry, Dablitsky points out in his country is that the Mechaber Pesach, notwithstanding, he thinks that the minhag olam, or he points out the minhag olam is like the Ravid, that you only tear one level of a bega when it comes to the Makom HaMikdash. You don't tear everything as Shigalus Lipo. And then the other halachos also don't apply. You don't have to be makbid on Sad Yamin either. Now, the Orchas Rabbeinu writes that the stipler was Karem Ditzatzmo, but that seems consistent with being choshish for the Rambam the way the Mechaber has it. And Rosh Hashanah also points out that he doesn't think Lemaisa, we pass him like the Ravis, he doesn't think that you need to be makbid to tear dafka bitzad small. My sense was that common practice is to tear bitzad small when it comes to Makom HaMikdash, but I may be wrong. Then the Mishnah Berurah tells us something else in Sifkat and Dalid. Mishnah Berurah writes, Yesh HaKosvu, Shemistabra Sheyom Sheroa Adam Tchila Yerushalayim Bercharbana, Sheyaser Oso Ayom Kulo Bebaser V'yayin. That the day that a person sees Yerushalayim b'churbana, so he should be usher on that day to eat basar v'yayin. Yasser osa yom kula basar v'yayin, and the Mishabura writes in Shaaretzion This comes from a Taftor Upera. So what's the nature of this din of Isser Basar V'Yayin and extending that B'chol Hayom? So I believe that Rav Schechter made this point, although I'm maybe mistaken, that this may connect to a halach and hilchos tanis that we have in a couple of places in Shulchan Aruch. For example, the Ramah has in Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Lamed Aleph If Kavav, that if a person was Mechal Shabbos, he has to fast 40 days, Sheni V'Chamish, he has to fast Monday, Thursday for 40 days. V'lo yishta yayin v'lo yochal basar. And he shouldn't eat meat or drink wine. What does that mean? He shouldn't eat meat and drink wine. He's fasting. So Mr. Brewer writes over there, Sivkat Dinayin Tasa means, Hainu b'layla shachar tanis. It means you fast during the day and you shouldn't eat meat or drink wine even on the night following the tanis. You have the same thing in Hilchos Nida, Simen Kuf Pehei, in the context of Boel Nida, who requires tshuva and fasting the same number of taniyos. So there are more rights, but layla tanis asur b'yayin Ubasar, that the night of the Tanis, there's an Isser, Basar, the Yayin. The Torah Sashlamim there in Hilchos Nida, the Torah Sashlamim is on the print of the bottom of Shulchan Aruch by the author of the Shvas Yaakov and the Minchas Yaakov. So the Torah Sashlamim writes over there, he's Mesupuk, this din, that Balel, the Tanis, Asar, the Basar, the Yayin, does that mean the night before the Tanis or the night after the Tanis? And he's machriya l'chumra in both directions, that it should be asr basar v'yayin the night before and the night after as well. Rav Schechter points out, printed in Bikvei Yetzoh and Simen Tesvav Os Yud Gimel, that this relates to an element of Hilchos Tanis, that a Tanis has a certain correspondence to a korban, based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav Sheshes Gabal Yasub Tanisa. Basa Damasi Amrahaki, the Rishashis would have a personal tanis. He would recite the following tefillah afterwards. This is printed in Sidurim. Ribono Olamim, Gali Lufanech, Bismanshe Besamikdish Chayim, Adam Choti, Makrav Korban, Veimar Kibi Menel Chelba, Vedam, Skapirlo, Achshav Yishati Betanis, and the Mighty Chelbi Vidami, Yerasma Fanecha, Shay Chelbi Vidami, Shenismai, Kilik Raftiv, Lufanech, Al Gabin's Behafet, if a person fasts a tanis, then some levels, Ke'ilu, he gave of himself the Torah a korban, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu should consider that as a korban, which is why it would make sense that there would be an Isser, there's some residual effect of the Tanis, even after the Tanis, just so when it comes to korbanos, the calendar is that the night follows the day, so too when it comes to Tanis, on some level, the night may follow the day, and therefore there may be residual effect of the Tanis, even Mosei Tanis, and that's where this Isser Basar V'Yayin would spill over too. So that may be true here for the Mishnah Berurah citation as well, when he says Asur B'chol Hayom, that would extend to the night following this as well. If you look in the Crazy Placey, if you look in the Kaftar Perach, which is the source of this, this din the Mishnah Berurah quotes, by the way, Shlomo Zalman, the Chuvi mentioned earlier, he points out, he thinks this is just a Chumra Ba'alma, it's not Nikar Adin. So if a person has a Chasana to go to after going to the Makom HaMikdash, then he could go to the Chasana. Nikaradin, but in terms of the source, so in the Kaftar Perak Vav, what he quotes is a Gemara in Shvuah Staf Kafam Adal. The Gemara there has a Braisa in the context of when does a person violate Bal Yachel, violating a Shvuah or a Neder. So there, the Gemara, the Braisa has an example. If a person asers something Bachila, Kiyom. Shemes Aviv, Kiyom Shinera Gedalia Ben Achikam, Kiyom Shira Yerushalayim B'Karbano. So the example of asking something is like a person asers, he's not going to eat Basar V'Yayin, like the day that he has a yard site, like some Gedalia, like Kiyom Shira Yerushalayim B'Karbano. So the Kaftar Pharaoh says, you see from there apparently that there's some connection between it's Milsa Agav Orche Kamash V'Lan this Raisa, that Yom Shira Yerushalayim Rechabana is a mechayev, or at least an impetus, for asering b'basar v'yayin. So if that's the source, and the analogy is Yerushalayim Rechabana like a yard site or like some gedalia, so on a tainus of a yard site, again, it could be that the same thing that we see by the Ramah and the Torah Sashlamim's extension by by the Taniyos of the Ramah for tshuva would apply to these Taniyos also to Aser Basar Yayin afterwards as well. So it may depend on whether that's the case. But the Makor, the model that the Kafter Parah quotes is that Brisa of Kiyom She Meis Gedalia Ben Achika, Kiyom She Meis Aviv, the Imo, Kiyom She Meis Aviv, etc. Just to conclude with one more. So the Mefarshim talk about that, whether that's a raya that, I mean, our minhag is that the times of a yard site is the Yom Ha Misa, not the Yom HaKvura, but there's a discussion whether this is the source for that. Right. Just to conclude with one more point, Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Halicha Shlomo as making, in Hilchas Tefillah, is making the following point. The Dirshu quotes this on the Mishnah Berurah here. The Shari Tshuva in Simon Tavko Samach Aleph Sifkatan Bey is quoted by Radvaz, who comments that the Radvaz, the contemporary of the Beis Yosef, in his time, the residents of Yerushalayim that didn't tear Kriya, even if they went to the Makom Mikdash and hadn't been there for 30 days. And the Radvaz thinks that was an incorrect practice. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that if someone lives in Yerushalayim and doesn't go to the Makom HaMikdash for 30 days, so that's an indication that he doesn't really care about the Chorban, and therefore he should be parted from Kriya because it doesn't really reflect any emotional attachment on his part. If he really cared, then he wouldn't be in that situation to tear Kriya because he wouldn't go 30 days without going to the Makom HaMikdash. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying such a thing in the Licha Shlomo, but the Radvaz is quoted as saying that even though there was such a practice, it's not, he doesn't condone it. Okay, you wrote on that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt Bekarov, and all this should no longer be relevant. So we will be breaking Mirtz Hashem for Bein Hazmanim after this week, Tisha B'Av, and then a few weeks, and I guess we'll let you know when the Shir will resume the end of the summer. Sometime in Elul. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good Shabbos.